May we help to commence our worship of God this evening by singing together hymn 643. Hymn 643, tune evening hymn 709. Again, dear Lord, we would be fed. We come to seek for living bread and feast on love divine. Dear Father, let thy presence be enjoyed by all thy family and make each face to shine. Hymn 643, tune even hymn 709.
Thank you. Lord, help us now in reading from his holy word. And there are two portions I wish to read this evening. First of all, in the first epistle of Peter, a few verses from chapter 1, and then the epistle of Jude. The first reading is in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. And I'll read the first 9 verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We'll leave that portion there and turn now to the Epistle of Jude. The Epistle of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, the sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and may he in mercy help and teach us to pray. O thou most gracious and ever merciful and long-suffering Lord God, that we might be permitted and enabled to draw near unto the footstool of thy mercy. For, O Lord, thou art indeed holy, and that we are unholy needs no proof. We sorely feel the fall, but that, Lord, it might be that we shall be found amongst those of whom the poet went on to say, but a Christ has holiness enough to sanctify us all. O Lord, thou knowest, Lord, those who have been brought at one time or another to have to come where thy servant Job was brought, and to put the mouth in the dust, and have to confess, behold, I am vile. Lord, thou didst not leave him there, and we do thank thee that thou didst bless the latter end of dear Job more than the beginning. O Lord, may it be then that we are brought, may we be amongst those brought, of whom we briefly read at the morning hour, that we may confess our sins to thee, that we may truly be sorry for our sins, and that thou wouldst grant unto us, O Lord, that token of the forgiveness of our sins. Thou who didst shed thine own heart's blood to cleanse the sinners from their sin, from all their sin. Lord, here we come once more, and that is all we are, poor sinners. We do pray thee then, gracious God, that thou wilt look upon us in mercy and help us to worship thee. That we might be favoured, Lord, to come. Lord, where thy servant, whose epistle we have read, that we might be favoured, Lord, that we might be brought there to desire to give unto thee the glory, the honour and to acknowledge thy wisdom, power and might. But, O Lord, above all, that we might be granted that blessing to praise thee for thine everlasting love. Lord, that love beyond all conception, that which surpasses all the power of human thought. O Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt look upon us now, and Lord, that thou wilt draw near and go with us. Thou knowest our frame, and thou rememberest that we are but dust. Yet we pray that we might be favoured, Lord, that thou wilt pour upon us and pour into our poor, empty earthen vessels the treasure, Lord, from above, that thou wilt grant unto us those best gifts, and that we may be enabled to worship thee aright, in spirit and in truth. Lord, we acknowledge thy upholding mercy through the former parts of the day. And now, Lord, thou knowest our need. And we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt indeed draw near and go with us. And, Lord, that thou wouldst break the precious sacred bread of life unto us, that it may be made as sweet to our taste, and that, Lord Jesus, we might have a little glimpse of thyself, and know, O Lord, that thou art with us, and that thou art indeed a risen Saviour, and that thou art up at the right hand of the Father, thou who dost intercede still for thy dear people. O Lord, how often we are brought, thou knowest, those who have been brought to those places where we know not what we should pray for as we ought. O Lord, forgive the poverty of our spirit and the coldness of our hearts. But, O Lord, may we, Lord, know as thy dear disciple Peter knew, thy sweet word unto him, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. O Lord, Peter failed, but that faith that thou didst give him did not fail. And how he was humbled in the dust. And Lord, even in having to go out and weep bitterly, thou hadst, Lord, strengthened that faith by one look. Lord, thou knowest those who may feel indeed to need that. One look from him shall make thee whole. O Lord, how we are so needy. Do come then, we pray. And O Lord, we pray once more that thou in mercy wilt remember this cause of truth, thy people here, the church here. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt keep them and uphold them and bless them together. And O Lord, may it please thee that thou wilt yet grant those encouragements, and Lord, that there shall yet be that which shall redound unto thy honour and for thy glory. Lord, then we pray that thou wilt go before them still. Bless thy servants as they come and seek to labour in thy name. Oh, do thou bless the word and bless souls, and let thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray, Lord, for those who turn in from time to time, that thou wilt bless them and the cause they represent. And Lord, oh, we do desire to remember all the little hills of Zion round about. Oh Lord, we do beseech thee that thou wilt yet in thy mercy preserve and maintain, and that thou wilt grant, Lord, to the little remnant that grace that there may be, though weak in the self and no strength in self, yet may there be that, Lord, which we shall be helped to do, as thy word which we have read exhorts us. Oh, help, Lord, help that we might earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints, saved sinners, that precious faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou dost grant. And Lord, how thy servant could say, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh Lord, may we be such a people in the churches with which we are connected, and also, Lord, for all, we pray, who love the truth, who desire that they might know thee, the only true God, the only way to heaven. Lord Jesus, look down upon us even at this evening hour. Oh, do come, Lord, and grant thy blessing amongst us. So we ask then, Lord, that thou remember this hill of Zion and all the sister causes round about. And Lord, do bless thy word abundantly. And help those who have much responsibility. Lord, do grant thy strength, grant wisdom, grant thy grace, Lord. And oh, may there be those encouragements and those signs following. So we ask then, gracious God, that thou wilt yet make manifest, oh, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And help thy dear servants, Lord. Oh, help them as they venture forth, and those whom thou hast appointed over a flock. Lord, what a responsibility it is, and how short this poor sinner feels to come. But gracious Lord, thou art in heaven. And, O Lord, it is thy work, it is thy people. Oh, then, may thy dear servants, whether they itinerate or whether they are appointed statedly over a flock, Lord, may thy dear servants be favoured to prove, Lord, that thou hast sent them, and that thou dost bless thy word. For though sinners may feel bound, yet thy word is not bound. We would bless thee for it. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt then grant those showers of blessing, and that there may be that gracious reviving. Oh Lord, we do a desire, Lord, that we might be enabled to plead with thee. Revive thy work, O Lord, in the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. O Lord, so we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt yet hear the cries, and not only bless the labours of thy servants, but Lord, those who hold office and those upon whom thou hast given that burden for souls, Lord, may it please thee to help each one, and Lord, to bless those things that they do in thy fear, and bless the hymns amongst us, we do pray. And may there be those seasons when there shall be that fitting together according to thy wisdom, and that there may be, Lord, that witness of thy Holy Spirit's leading. Lord, look upon us in mercy, and do come and favour Zion. O Lord, we beseech thee. Have mercy, O Lord, upon our guilty land and nation. In much deserved wrath, we pray, do thou remember mercy. Lord, what can we say? Our iniquities testify against us. The sin runs down our streets like the rain, and bringing up and out the mire and the filth. O Lord, in mercy do appear, and lift up a standard against the tide of evil. And, O Lord, that there might be that which shall come from thee, Lord, that shall sweep away the refuge of lies, that shall sweep away the filth and the evil. And oh, that thou, Lord, wouldst grant that peace, the peace of God in poor sinners' hearts, the peace that comes by the preaching of the cross. Lord, oh, may there be, Lord, that help given. So look upon us, Lord, and come, we beseech thee. Pardon where I come short in asking, and remember all in their needs, personally, individually, those who may be mourning, in bereavement, and those in afflictions. Lord, there are those that we know of and think of. And Lord, we pray, as the thought comes into my poor mind, Lord, we pray for thy servant, dear Mr. Robert Field, Lord, who I believe was expected to be here at some time in the fairly near future. Oh Lord, we do pray for him. Pray, Lord, that thou remember him, Lord, as if thy will he will have that major operation on this coming Tuesday. Oh Lord, may thy loving kindness, Lord, be felt, and that he may indeed know and feel that underneath are thine everlasting arms. O Lord, we pray, if it is thy will, that thou grant that wisdom and guidance to the surgeon, and that, Lord, if it could please thee, that his this may be for the lengthening out of his useful life, if it could please thee. Remember his dear one in this time of great anxiety. And Lord, there are doubtless others in the times proving, Lord, do grant, Lord, that grace to bring each one through, if it could please thee. Forgive now where I do come short in asking. Do come and help a poor sinner to venture with thy word, as we do desire to ask all, and the pardon of every sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
the notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Brian Mercer is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening. Next Lord's Day, Mr. Robert Field was engaged to preach, but due to his operation is unable to do so. At present, we've yet to engage another minister. And therefore, at present, there will be read sermons next Lord's Day. Next Lord's Day is also the day appointed for our monthly collection. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn 723. Hymn 723, tune Calvary 668. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to fill your need of him. This he gives you, 'tis the Spirit's rising beam. 723, June Calvary, 668.
Yeah.
in great need of the help of God by and through the Holy Spirit, I venture this evening to direct your thoughts and attention to the word you will find in the Epistle of Jude and the last two verses. The Epistle of Jude, verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. It is especially the opening clause of verse 24 that I trust the Lord brought upon my spirit yesterday morning. I have ventured thus far with two words this morning here and at Brabourne this afternoon, and now this word, and the Lord drops them in one after the other yesterday morning, and I have been tried, but yet may there be that which the Lord will bless for the good of souls and for his honour and glory. Well, the word here then, I have just suddenly realised that the word here in this text begins with the same word that I ventured with this morning, now. And if I just remind you of the word from this morning in the Gospel according to John, and the first verse there, and I do believe it does begin with that word, now. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Well, dear friends, now this word here begins with that same little word, now. And oh, that the Lord might bring us to this very thing, even now. And oh, that it might be a word to us, not only just for this hour, these few moments this evening, but that the Lord might bring us into the experience, the teaching of it, the understanding of it, the sealing of the truth of it in our poor hearts as to what the Lord has done and what he is able to do, that we might then know something of this, to give unto the only wise God, our Saviour, to give unto him glory and majesty, dominion and power. Though not that we have anything in ourselves to give. But I did look at Psalm 115. Not unto us, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name give glory. Well, as you may remember, or you may realise, you have just been singing the words in the hymn, He is able. He is able. And dear friends, that is the message here of the truth, the conclusion of this short epistle from the Apostle Jude. Now unto him that is able. Oh, here is putting the crown on the right head. If ever it was, unto him that is able. And in this setting, and in regard to that which follows, to keep you from falling. Oh, have you, a poor soul, proved that you are not able to keep yourself? Alas, how sadly some of us have learned that we cannot keep ourselves. And the dear poet says, myself I cannot keep, myself I cannot save, but strength in thee I fain would have, whose eyelids never sleep. Oh, he is able. Now unto him that is able. And what a wonder this is. Oh, dear friends, God, as the Creator, is able to do all things. And in his mighty power and wisdom, what he has done, oh, far exceeding everything that man can do. Unto him that is able. Oh, when some are favoured to see, and you and I may be, the wonder of the creation, the ability that God has shown to us through it, how the movements of the earth and the planets round the sun, for instance, and the moon round the earth. Oh, friends, him that is able, and he maintains them. He keeps them in that order, and we can so rely for the order of God's creation that many predictions can be accurately made of when things will happen. Those different eclipses, for instance, is one example. How only recently it was brought to my attention that there are certain special things about the eclipses of the sun that have been predicted with remarkable accuracy. But friends, who gives the glory and the honour to the one deserves it? I would say it with reverence. Solemnly, all that man can do is crow over what he thinks he has been able to do and to predict. But none of it would be possible if it were not for him who is able, and him who maintains all things after the counsel of his own will, even in creation. Now, friends, oh, do we desire to know something more than this? Well, you have been singing of what poor sinners are by the work of the Spirit brought into. We come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus, ready, stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more now. Now, dear friends, unto him that is able to keep you, poor sinner, from falling. Oh, how prone we are. We are in a moment. We can slip. In a moment, we can fall. And how many have proved it, and how many examples the Lord has left on record in his word of those who were a gracious, godly people, but oh, how they fell. And friends, what about ourselves? We surely, if the Lord has shown you and I anything, we cannot really throw stones at others. When the Lord has taught you and has taught me, I trust, from time to time, of those dreadful things that we have fallen. We might not have ever thought that we would fall in certain ways and in certain matters, but we are to this day. We have to cry out with the dear hymn writer, "Here on my heart the burden lies, and past offences pain my eyes." Oh, alas, alas. Well, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Oh, this wonderful grace of God. It is not then just the power and wisdom of the Creator, and I would say this with the greatest reverence, but friends, it's something more than this. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. And dear friends, this is really, in the truth of it, and again I find I'm struggling for the words to express, I trust, truth, but it is only through the redeeming love and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ that he is able to keep his people from falling. Because by sins already committed, we are already condemned. We are already under the sentence of death. But, oh, in his great love. And I thus read that brief portion from the first epistle of Peter. Because it does bring in that which is a truth that nature cannot understand or accept, but elect, the election of grace. Oh, as Peter writes, and let me just remind you, he only uses one word in the opening verse of his first epistle, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers. Does not say anything else about these people. To the strangers. No doubt perhaps there was significance at that time to his fellow Jews scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia and so on. But, dear friends, what does he then say? Strangers. And the next thing he says is elect. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. These are the people that are the subjects of the words of the text. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. These strangers who are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Oh, dear friends, have we a little hope that we are amongst that number? Do you have to cry unto him, "Assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear the witness with my heart that I am born of God"? He is able to keep you from falling. As I went through those few verses in Peter 1, you see how he comes in, wonderful truths, so concentrated in a few verses. But it comes to this. These people, another viewpoint of them, wonderful it is that the Lord, His Word, is not like any other. And now these same people are described again, another viewpoint of them, and it is this: who are kept by the power of God. Oh dear friends, what a favour, an eternal favour, that these who are kept are the ones who have that inheritance reserved in heaven. Oh, what a prospect. Well, who are kept? Friends, have we? Oh, have we a little hope? You see, the Lord so speaks in His Word of those who have fallen. Well, there are those examples. Some of them very solemn, like Samson, for instance. Well, all are solemn in a sense, who have fallen, and so it is with us. It's a solemn thing to fall in sin. Oh, but when the Lord seals it home, friends, when the holy law of God condemns us, why, we're utterly lost. There is no hope in self or the creature or any other thing, and yet the Lord has these people whom He has wrought out this great salvation for. Well, Samson, old friends, how he yielded to temptation. And those words of Delilah, and he had to suffer for it. Yes, he did. His eyes were put out. He never again opened his eyes in the world here below. Never. No, never. But one thing that the Lord did do, wasn't it? The hair of his head began to grow. And the blessed Spirit of God, in that particular way, returned, as it were. Well, we need to be careful, but came with the renewings of old strength to the dear and yet afflicted man. Now, you see, he was not left to utterly fall. And he wrought a great work for his nation, for the Lord's people, in that when he died, he was the means of the death of more of those enemies of his nation than he has been the means to kill in his life. I believe the scripture records it. There were more that he slew at his death than all that he had slain in his life. But he was one whom the Lord had raised up. But oh, how he fell. And so many instances we have. And friends, in every instance, we must be clear, there was the punishment. How David was punished for his grievous sin in regard to Bathsheba and the death of Uriah the Hittite. And David had to suffer greatly, and yet he was not left to utterly fall. And in one of the Psalms, I think it is, though he fall, yet he shall not be utterly cast down. What a wonderful word that is. Though he fall. And our friends, surely we have to, we have, some of us, and the Lord knows how it is with you each, to come to that acknowledgement that, as David did, I have sinned. Well, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. But it is not the end here of the fulfillment of the Lord's purpose of grace. Oh, friends, this is the beginning, as it were, or it is one side of it, of the matter. Him that is able. Well, how much could be spoken about him that is able? Friends, I've only hinted in a way. But he is able. Why and how? Oh, friends, when poor sinners are granted a little more of a glimpse of what the dear Saviour has done for them, you will realise a little more of how able and willing he is and has been, that he might save his people with an everlasting salvation. But it meant that he must go down to the grave. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen. Yes, he must die. So the him that is able, it gathers up the finished work of the Lord Jesus and all that it was for him and all that it meant to him and to his Holy Father. Oh, friends, what a great mystery, really, much of it. Yet the manifestation of it, the working of it in the salvation of many. Oh, the wonders that God has wrought, that he makes known and has made known and will yet make known, delivering poor sinners from the bondage. Yes, to bring them out of that figuratively Egyptian bondage. And friends, what was it really that brought that to pass? Well, right in the very centre of that wonderful night, it was the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that destroying angel from which they were saved was the very means in God's hand of turning the Egyptians so that the whole nation could not get rid of the children of Israel quick enough, including at that time Pharaoh himself. What a solemn thing that was. But the distinction, the precious blood signified unto him that is able, because he shed his own heart's blood. And there's power in that precious blood. Dear Cowper sings of it. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God are saved to sin no more. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. But I must, as the Lord may help me, come a little into the remainder of the word. Oh, friends, the little word and. There is this that is joined here wonderful truth, him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. You know, friends, there's so much more to salvation in one sense than we shall ever fully understand, at least this side of the grave. The word here really takes us to the day of judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. Oh, dear friends, well did the prophet say, eye hath not seen, neither hath the ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, what he hath prepared for them that wait for him, for them that love him, to present you faultless. Oh, friends, have you had to mourn over those blots on your copybook, as it were, things that you cannot erase, things that you cannot remove, and yet you see there is that truth which is so only by faith can we really believe. That the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And it is this that means that his dear people will appear faultless. And really, it is not only that, but it will be as they are clothed in those white robes. The righteousness of Christ is another viewpoint, really, of the same truth. Oh, that robe of his righteousness, in which poor sinners shall stand complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious bridegroom of their soul, and to present you faultless before his throne. Oh, friends, before the presence of his glory. Before the presence of his glory. When Moses, that greatly favoured servant of God, pleaded with the Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. What was the Lord's answer to him? There is no man that shall see my face and live. And to dear Moses, the Lord granted a great privilege that he passed by. And first of all, he put his hand over Moses so that Moses could not see him approach. But when he had gone past, he said he would take his hand away, and Moses would see his back parts. Now, friends, how great is that redeeming love and the wondrous robe of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, in which his dear people shall see his face. The word does say so. They shall see his face. It says so in the Revelation. They shall see his face. Oh, friends, what a day. We cannot begin really to comprehend. But now, if we see through a glass darkly, in a riddle, I think the margin says. And no wonder then our natural reason cannot even lay our own, shall I say, religion straight. If there's anything real in it, friends, we can't fully understand. But you see, it is only in part. There are little glimpses here and there, line upon line, precept upon precept. And yet these are earnests of the Lord's favour, of his everlasting love. And from time to time, oh dear friends, by faith, a little feeding upon him, a feeding upon the bread of life, and a little of that very sacred, and I can scarcely comprehend it, to drink his blood. The Lord Jesus speaks of it. And now this will indeed mean that his dear people, partakers of his holiness, shall appear faultless before the presence of his glory. Now, friends, there's something else here too. Yes, look away from the creature, as it were. Look away from the sinner in that sense that he presents them with exceeding joy. And I feel that principally that is the joy of the heavenly bridegroom. Now we read of it, don't we? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne in heaven, he is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Dear friends, what a thought that is. Oh, the Lord knows how it is with each. But sometimes, and I want to speak right, and I don't want to speak in a too personal a way, but you know, sometimes, is it true? The Lord knows. We may mourn because of the things that we have done that have caused grief, even to those near and dear. And that is a grief that when it is known, it is felt. I think dear David, in a sense, came there a little when he saw the destroying angel, when David was standing at the threshing floor of Ornan, and he saw, I think it was then, the destroying angel, and he had to say, "But these sheep, what have they done? These sheep." He was thinking of his people. His sorrow was for them because of his sin. Now, friends, the Lord, he can turn even such grief, he can turn it into a joy for his dear people when he takes away their grief. And friends, there is, whatever our grief is, there is that blessed word that the Lord tells us for his dear people, that when they are brought at last to heaven, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. Oh, dear friends, ye now therefore have sorrow, but your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. To the only wise God. Oh, there's so much in this which follows. To the only wise God. There is so much that we do not understand. So many things that have taken place that we cannot lay straight. But dear friends, here is a ground. The first verse 24 spells out the ground for what follows. To the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Oh, dear friends, For unto him that is able, why so much is due to him? How thankful we are naturally when people are able to do things for us that are impossible for us. We are so grateful, aren't we? When somebody has the ability or the strength that we do not have, and they in kindness they do for us what we cannot do ourselves. And sometimes we do not know how to express our gratitude for that kindness. How much more? Oh, how much more the Lord is worthy of eternal thanks. Oh, that everlasting song. They shall sing a new song. And in that new song there is this language. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. To the only wise God, our Saviour. Well, friends, there's so much there. To humble natural pride. The only wise God. Oh, dear friends. How he is. Indeed, wisdom itself, which a subject I tried to venture with this afternoon. The only wise God. Man boasts of much of his knowledge about how the God is the only truly wise. Certainly, with regard to the salvation of his dear people. Oh, the wisdom of God. And how his wisdom is beyond our fathoming. Friends, the fulfillment of it is so precious. I mentioned at some point today, why was I made to hear thy voice and enter whilst there's room? Whilst thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. Oh, friends, who can fathom it? 'Tis the only wise God, his infinite wisdom, in which he says, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. To the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power. Well, I tremble to come this with these words. Oh, dear friends, I felt, is it too high? Is it too high? But friends, what is the subject? And who are the characters? These are sinners who are so, like the hymn writer says, prone to wander. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Oh, friend, have you been brought to mourn these things? We have no in ourselves. We have no constancy. Regards to the Lord and Saviour, we are unfaithful. Our hearts have been taken away. We have gone after this and gone after that. And yet, he is faithful that called you, who also will do it. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. These are poor sinners, and yet, friends, what a prospect is theirs to be presented faultless before his throne, the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty. There's a king here, majesty. Oh, dear friends, why should the children of a king go mourning all their days great Comforter, descend and bring some tokens of thy grace. Well, may the Lord bless his word. Pardon anything I've spoken amiss for his name's sake. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 428. 428. Tune a Zundel 664. I just say that in my hymn book, the first verse is always on one page and the other two verses on another. It was the first verse that led me to this hymn. I have to leave the rest with the Lord. Humble souls who seek salvation through the Lamb's redeeming blood, hear the voice of revelation, tread the path that Jesus trod. Flee to him, your only Saviour. In his mighty name confide. In the whole of your behaviour, own him for your sovereign guide. Hymn 428, tune Zundel 664.
gracious Lord, thou knowest all hearts, and O Lord, may it please thee to bless thy word according to thy own purpose. Lord, do pardon and forgive anything that has not been of thee, but do bless souls, bless thy Zion, we pray thee, that there might yet be, Lord, those seasons to rejoice in what the Lord has done. Now do take us each to our homes in peace and in safety, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.